Welcome to the Point Forward podcast with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's J.R. Radcliffe and Jim Ozarski, an over-caffeinated Milwaukee Bucks conversation.
The Point Forward podcast, Milwaukee Bucks chatter from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. My name is J.R. Radcliffe. I am joined on the other line by Jim Ozarski. He's the Bucks beat reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We are in our respective spots, hiding from the sanitizer cam at the moment and trying to get back into basketball mode. The second half of the NBA season is about to get underway. The Milwaukee Bucks will begin Thursday night against the New York Knicks, wearing some spiffy new threads that we can talk about. People probably paid attention to the All-Star game over the weekend. Giannis Antetokounmpo, All-Star game MVP, so that's kind of an exciting thing. Jim, I know you you sat in on the Zoom with Giannis afterwards. I mean, I know there's not a lot to say. There's not a lot of analysis or input. We really, you know, we don't need to spend a lot of time on the All-Star game, but how endearing is that guy? He goes 16 for 16. He wins the MVP, loves it. Milwaukee, this is for you is the quote after the game. His son is there. I mean, Milwaukee fans are just falling in love with this guy, somehow even more so than now that he's signed the Supermax. That's pretty impressive stuff.
Yeah, it meant something to him. And I think when Giannis makes it clear that something is important to him, he's of that ilk, JR, that he can kind of make it happen, right? Like, a two-time MVP, yes, but I think he's starting to show that, when things, he can kind of go to another level. And I know it's just an All-Star game, but look, 3 3-pointers, including a step back, right? I mean, that's
was it Reggie Miller screaming no, because he didn't want him to ruin his perfect day shooting, and then it goes in anyway.
Like, I think if you're a Bucks fan, like, yes, the global MVP, it's a fun game, it's his kids there, there's the moment, like, all that, we love you, Milwaukee, that's great. But to me, I think if you're a Bucks fan, the idea that he could walk up confidently and take a 3-pointer, banked in or not, because he wanted to and felt like it, and it went in and it was confident, like, that bodes well. I asked him about that, and he said, hey, it's a game that didn't count, so I wanted to essentially practice it. And again, that's what this guy's about, is working and expanding his game. So as we look forward out of the second half, JR, just 3 shots. Oh, okay. It's a continuation of what we've seen through the first half with him. And why not take it as a positive for him, in not just the, you know, kind of off court fun ways, but also, you know, even as he tries to up his game, you know, going into the second half.
The way he articulated after the game really kind of drove a point home for me that I guess I hadn't really considered. In the Zoom meetings he's had with reporters, and just, you know, just his body language on, you know, on the screen or in the arena, he is having fun. He's having fun in a year where it would actually be kind of easy to not have fun. Expectations are sky high. 2 playoff exits earlier than most fans hoped for in a row here. He signed the Supermax. You know, he's raising a young son. Like, there's a lot going on in his life, and yet he is having a better time this year than he did last year. And I mean, he's always been a fun-loving guy. That's never been a problem. He had a great time at the All-Star game last year. I believe last year is the time he threw down that ridiculous bounce pass dunk from Steph Curry. That might even be a year before that. But that's a good sign for a team that has had its struggles this year to have the leader of this team still be in a place, in a headspace, position where he can say, you know what, we're doing fine, I'm relaxed, I'm playing my game. That's going to translate down the line, because this team is still rounding into form. We've talked about that a lot, and it seems like that feels like the right mentality to have. I know you're not in the locker room with him, you're not going to really get a sense of how much fun he's having necessarily. But he's not a guy who hides the way he feels. This seems like the type of thing that's legit. And honestly, I think it's a big deal for the Bucks.
Yeah, it reminds me a little bit, right, of Aaron Rodgers finding his sort of Zen or astrological space this past season. At the very simplest level, if you're in a positive head place, physically it's probably going to feel better, and your work performance is going to be good. But part of this, JR, too, is he made a concerted effort with this at part of the offseason plan. And we touched on some of this in, you know, the Giannis story over at jsonline.com about how he's trying to take his game to a new level. And it's not just on the court. It's what you just said. It's him understanding the team will go as he goes. So the Giannis who boils over after losses, who is so passionate, which was very good for most of his career. People wanted that, right? Like, I mean, I remember the kid who cried in Atlanta his rookie year because the team lost, right? Like, so some of that's maturity. So he's a father, as Thanasis said. You're patient more. You're more patient with that. But I think he knew he couldn't ride those waves anymore. And I think he said he had the great line, you know, you can't have fun if you're fearful. I don't know if he was ever, you know, fearful or afraid of failure, but he just, you know, you're right. Like, he's the leader. He has to stay the same night in, night out. And I think he has found a good way to keep the floor, but then also provide the ceiling, the skip, like the dunk against LA, right? The Clippers, where he skips and he jumps. Like, that kind of emotional high, I think, is good, but he's keeping everything else sort of flatline, and especially after the losses, right, where he's like, well, we might lose 10 in a row. It's all about, like, who would have thought Giannis Antetokounmpo would say such a thing a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago? So you're right, JR. I think it is a good space, but I think he's worked to get there to sort of lead this team.
You wrote about that. The Joy of Basketball, I believe the title was, sort of a profile of Giannis and his evolution a little bit at jsonline.com. Find that. It is for our subscribers. Great deals at the Journal Sentinel right now. I mean, just check them out. jsonline.com/deal. You can catch a subscription right in time for the Brewers season starting, the Bucks hitting the second half of their season. March Madness. I mean, this is the month for sports fans. March is always where things really start to get pretty good. So absolutely check that story out. Jim also wrote about handing out some midseason grades for the Bucks. Really liked that story. A lot of you know, fun plays to relive, moments, players who have done well, players who could do better in the second half. Certainly the Bucks have to feel good going into the second half, knowing Drew Holiday is back. It's been a while, but since our last podcast, he hits that game-winning shot against the Grizzlies in Memphis to sort of rescue the Bucks from what would have been a kind of a fourth-quarter collapse and give the Bucks an exciting win heading into the break. So for that reason alone, having Drew Holiday back, Bucks have to feel fine about where they are. But I don't know. I don't know overall, if you look at the first half, you feel like this is a team that can legitimately contend for the title. You got to believe it based on the personnel. But give me your thought on that. I guess maybe, do you still think this team is capable of winning an NBA championship? And if not, or even if so, what's the one second half area that has to improve? Or that it's just not going to end the way that everyone wants it to end?
Yeah, I'm not going to change my opinion in that they can't, you know, reach an NBA finals I think if you're in that series, you have a good chance to win it. You know, I don't think they're as mismatched against the Lakers or the Clippers. I mean, Utah right now, I mean, that would be a mismatch. We've seen that. You know,
well, they have Ersan, so that's
well, yeah, that was pre-Ersan, right? You know, and,
yes, I'm kidding.
So,
love Ersan though. Shout out to Ersan always.
Yeah. So, yeah, they can put it this way. It's just not going to be easy. I don't think. Look, they've got to figure out their defensive issues. You know, they've crept into the top 10. And whatever metrics, their net rating is good. Like, all that stuff is good. I think what they need to do is, you know, they made stops at the end in Memphis to not let it slip away. They made stops at the end in LA or against the Clippers to win. Can they do that against Brooklyn two or three times? Philly two or three times? Boston? You know, when they hit that West Coast road trip in Golden State, which is not the same Warriors team they beat on Christmas, to beat the Lakers or contend. We haven't seen that consistently enough, JR, so I think that's the question. right? Can they do that? Because I think with Drew Holiday back, you know, I don't know if the offense is going to go through those 4-minute stretches, you know, where they stop scoring. You know, and I think Giannis' game is reaching a different level. We've seen that the last 10 games of the first half. Chris Middleton's kind of fallen off a little bit. But again, he's not that inconsistent of a guy, right, where you're going to see him really struggle, you know, night in, night out. So I think the issue is on defense. But it's some of it, who knows, maybe it's them going small, right? Where Giannis, we talked about this, where Giannis is the five. And you know, maybe that solves some of their issues up top with switching off screens, things of that nature. So yes, they can win. It won't be easy. Clearly, especially coming out of the East with Brooklyn and Philly, I think they just have to find out the defensive combinations that work, where they can handle Embiid and then switch to a series and then handle Durant, you know, enough to win, you know, eight games to beat those teams 8 times.
Yeah, I've got my eye on. Yeah, yes, there's some early matchups of interest. Starting Thursday with the Knicks, that's a very different team than what we think of when we think of the Knicks. But my eye is on this West Coast road trip. You talked about those teams, the end of March, beginning of April. It's a brutal, brutal trip. And I'm sure I've said this a million times before, but I really do think we'll have a very clear picture of where the Bucks are headed once those games are in the rearview mirror. One of the guys you also talked about in your story, kind of the halfway point, is Dante DiVincenzo. Most improved player is who you said, is how you categorized DiVincenzo. He still has some off nights, some off stretches here and there, but I wonder what you think his ceiling is. If he's the type of guy who can, you know, even become a fringe all-star player, that might be, I think that's probably a good ceiling for him in my estimation. But what do you think? Like, what's Dante's role when he is at the peak of his powers? What is he going to be able to do for the Milwaukee Bucks?
That's interesting. Fringy all-star is a high bar because
that's a ceiling.
Yeah, I think the reason I phrase it that way, JR, is technically Drew Holiday is like a fringy all-star. Like, he's made one team in his, yep, like, definitely. You know what I mean? So I think I don't know if DiVincenzo can get there. Now, I will say, I think defensively there's probably a bigger upside in terms of I don't know if he can be a lockdown kind of guy, but I think once he figures out when to help or when not to, more specifically, like, I think he's one of the guys who gets caught, right? Like, his overhelping and his man is the one left open. Or he kind of gambles a little bit on some passes. And again, his man is the one that the team has to rotate over and help. So, but look, he hasn't started. He's in his third year. This is new for him in a lot of ways. So I think there's some growing pains the team was willing to go through here. And so I do think his most improvement comes really from the 3-point shooting. I mean, he's at 38% right now. That's 33% last year. That's a huge jump. That can't be discounted. Now his finishing at the rim, it has left something to be desired. I don't know how or why he's shooting like 20% from inside 12 feet. Like, that seems
it's crazy,
kind of absurd. Like that's like the math doesn't seem to work there. Although Bucks fans listening to this are going to say, wait a minute, he's always out of control going to the rim and whatever. And I don't know, maybe some of those, like, next year he'll get the fouls. Like, I think some of that too is he's been probably should go to the free throw line a little more. He just hasn't gotten the benefit of that. I think his ceiling is, I think, a 12-point a game, five rebound, 4.5 assists. I think he could play make a little better than he's doing. Because he's not asked to do that yet. I think this team would be better if he could kind of initiate things and let Giannis, Chris, and Drew move. And I don't know, maybe I'm wrong there, but I think the 3-point shooting, for sure, if he could continue on that trajectory, become like a 40% guy, That would be huge. And look, if he's at 40%, there's your extra points, right? So I think that's a ceiling. But it's defensively this year, JR, I think maybe we could see him be more impactful as he maybe learns he doesn't have to sag off as much or gamble as much. And that, of course, would tighten everything up to what we just talked about the team in general improving.
And then I'll get your progress report on a couple guys that were sort of a struggle in the first half. Torrey Craig, as you wrote about, has had trouble even getting on the floor, and when he's been there, hasn't been able to make the impact, at least not yet, in the limited opportunities he's had. And then DJ Augustin was really struggling, but I did kind of feel like we saw him sort of find it there toward the end, right before the All-Star break. What are your thoughts on both of those guys as we're going to find out who's going to be key contributors down the stretch here?
Yeah, so Craig is I think still just a mystery. When the Bucks go small, if Giannis is at the five, it would make sense that Torrey Craig is out on the floor. I think he is a better overall player right now than Thanasis, who's getting those minutes. However, you cannot ignore how the team plays when Thanasis is getting minutes. I mean, he brings, look, they call it an energy. People may roll their eyes at that and point to some metrics and plus minus and all that, whatever. I mean, he clearly has a positive impact on the team when he is in there. So I could see that's an issue to me. I think if Torrey Craig stays on the team through the break or through the trade deadline, he has to be part of this. How and why, I don't know if Mike Budenholzer has quite figured that out, because I think Pat Connaughton has his three-point shooting. Look, it's better than Torrey Craig's. I mean, that's what Pat's better at. I don't know if defensively, clearly they have to that outweighs it, right? This team has definitely gone more offense than defense. So Craig is just interesting. Now, in terms of DJ Augustin, I think, look, he struggled for sure before he started these games with Jrue Holiday out. And I had some email conversations back with fans who said, look, DJ Augustin's been a disappointment. How can you say he was playing better? Look, he did. When he started, the Bucks went on a win streak. I think he needs what he and the team need to figure out, JR, is how can he kind of capture the better play he had in 26 minutes a game now back on the bench when it's 16 to 18 minutes a game, when he's not running the offense and when he's back to being off the ball? Or, I don't know, maybe when he's out there with Jrue Holiday, DJ Augustin is the point guard. And Drew and Jan, I don't know. I guess that's still the part of the mystery of figuring things out, in the second half for the Bucks.
You mentioned if Torrey Craig is on this team for the home stretch, just your gut feeling. We've talked about the obstacles standing in the way of the Bucks making a move here, especially one of significance, because they're just backed up in terms of dollars and just in terms of what they can do with their roster. But do you think the Bucks will have a move in them that's gonna dramatically impact what they do on the floor at all, or is that just it requires too many gymnastics to make that happen?
Yeah, I think John Horst has paid a lot of money to do such things, so I can't sit here and say, oh, just because of all these limitations of the hard cap and the cap apron and all these things that quite frankly are boring to really break down to. Yes. What it means is the Bucks
they're dense too. I tried to understand this stuff last year, and it's one of those things that for a moment I think I understood it, and then it slipped away. It's like a dream. You have it crystallized in your head just for a second, and then just like that, it's gone.
Yeah, I mean, the short part of this is they have $400,000 under the cap to work with as of right now. So if they're gonna make them, that means they can't sign anyone who's bought out until the last month of the season, last few weeks of the season. Is that guy going to make a huge playoff impact? It would depend if he's played, right, or not. Can they trade anyone? Well, it probably means DJ Wilson has to go with his prorated salary. But now that also means someone has to want DJ Wilson. For right. What draft capital? I mean, there is none. I mean, you're talking about second round picks, and you know, someone might be shouting, "Trade DJ Augustine." No, they signed that guy for 3 years and $20 million. No team is going to take that right now. I mean, maybe Pat Connaughton, but much to maybe Bucks fans' chagrin, like, I mean, again, they signed him for 3 years, yeah. X million. He's part of the rotation. I know P.J. Tucker is out there, but isn't P.J. Tucker, Torrey Craig, except older? You know, like, P.J. Tucker's the quote-unquote defensive guy who can guard multiple positions on the wings. Like, that's – like, they that's have that guy. So – he can't play. So, yeah, I – look, I'm not going to sit here and say, JR, they're not going to make a move, because I think they're – finding out what they could do. If it's a trade, it takes two to tango, and they have very few assets to make that tango interesting. the buyout, I think, might be more realistic. It just will take longer for that to happen. I think this team is what it is. I don't know if they're going to get a guy. Again, I'll eat it later, but, this is the team that the top nine that they have right now, the top eight that they have right now, to me are the guys who will win or not win, you know, an Eastern Conference championship and NBA finals, and anyone else they add on the side might contribute, but that's like how they would normally, they would contribute now, right? Like, so I just don't see that impact move, if you will. That was Jrue Holiday.
Bucks, again, open up play against the New York Knicks on Thursday night. Game I think a lot of people will be paying attention to is the one on St. Patrick's Day against the Philadelphia 76ers. The first opportunity the Bucks will have to play the Eastern Conference leaders. The Bucks will head into the second half, two games behind the Sixers. Nets are ahead of them slightly as well. A lot of games against those two teams on the docket here in the second half. One thing we know about this Knicks game is that the Bucks are going to be wearing some new threads. Their Earned Edition jerseys debuted on Wednesday. For people who have trouble keeping track of all the different jerseys, and I don't blame you, this is the jersey that 16 teams get based on whether or not they made the playoffs the year before. I like this one a lot. Are you a jersey guy? I don't know. I know your old stomping ground, Cincinnati Bengals, are getting ready to unveil some new jerseys too. Are you a jersey guy? Do you get into this stuff?
I am not a jersey guy. I mean,
that surprises me a little bit. I figured you'd have opinions.
Yeah, to me, it's,
people have strong opinions about jerseys. They do. Holy smokes,
they do. Put it this way: I having grown up in Chicago, I lean toward classic looks, classic colors. Maybe that's the benefit of being in a city that had pro sports for a century, you know, and when the teams were founded on all sides of town. Now, granted, the White Sox, of all the Chicago teams, and that's who I grew up rooting for in baseball, they're the ones who, like, changed jerseys a lot. But then they kind of settled on that black and silver, right, in the 90s, and that has become classic. That look, right? And so they've had variations off of that, but sticking in that same realm. I get it. Like, I have an appreciation for 90s basketball jerseys. That was my fandom heyday. Those are kind of coming back, right? So I get it. I can appreciate it. I think some look good. I think some, so I don't have a strong take, but I appreciate it. And look, it's all about the fans. If the fans respond to it, if they like it, more power to them, man, because that's how they can represent their city, their squad.
Yes, I do enjoy the jersey. I can appreciate that you're a Coca-Cola classic guy. You like exactly. That. You like that red with the basic lettering. I get it. That's fine. I like flashy jerseys, probably some jerseys that most people find unattractive, but I definitely participate in the conversation without being very serious about it. I do not ultimately care how people are dressed, but some new jerseys coming out. I wrote about them real briefly at jsonline.com. You can check that out if you would like. Last thing before we get going, Marcus Johnson is a finalist for the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame. This is his third year as a finalist. I'll be completely honest. I'm bringing this up, and I haven't done just, you know, deep dive research as to what his chances are. A lot of familiar names on this docket. I'm guessing he's going to be on the outside looking in, although a guy like Sidney Moncrief did get in a couple years ago. I don't know how many, you know, as with the NFL, most guys who are finalists get in eventually. I don't even know right now if that's true for the Basketball Hall of Fame. It isn't a limited number of people who can get in, so that seems to me would favor Marcus Johnson's candidacy, but I don't know. So have you done any thought, if you thought about that at all, if that's where Marcus Johnson is headed? He's obviously very beloved by Bucks fans, still part of the organization as part of the announcing team, a guy we see a lot. Be awfully cool if he can get into that Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I think he will get in, whether it's this time around, I can't say. I think the fact that he's a college basketball Hall of Famer helps the candidacy, it's interesting because I think history looks more kindly on guys like that as you sort of get a, oh, wait a minute, three-time All-NBA? How many All-Star? Like, I think, you know, especially in that era where it was more difficult to score, you kind of, oh, yeah, that actually was pretty good for X amount of time. And also, it's the Basketball Hall of Fame, and having the college part of it, to me, I think, you know, for sure helps. I don't know if that goes into the consideration. But, yeah, I think he'll get in there. Again, that's always hard to say, especially for those veteran candidates, because obviously the, you know, the Chris Boshes, for instance, are more top of mind, tip of tongue for people.
Sure. Paul Pierce.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, and I think championships, you know, NBA championships clearly, you know, could be a tiebreaker at times. But so, yeah, you know, I think that would be good for Milwaukee. It'd be good for the Bucks if they can have another, you know, Hall of Famer who identifies with the city, just much like Sidney Moncrief.
Yeah, definitely. Jack Sikma went in recently, Moncrief, like you said. So the Bucks have had some representation in the Pro Basketball Hall of Fame. You know, Johnson got a little bit of renewed pub when the picture of Michael Jordan in his room with Marcus Johnson's poster on his wall was part of the Last Dance documentary. I think that was pretty cool. Him dunking every year on his birthday, which you've noticed and written about. Like, the guy is having a great time staying around basketball, and I think it would be really cool. I think it's something he would really appreciate. You know, we opened talking about Giannis. Speaking of endearing personalities in the Bucks orbit, certainly Marcus Johnson applies as well. Any last thoughts, Jim, before I send you off to the second half of the NBA season?
No, I guess I'm just I'm curious to see how this team comes out of the gate. You know, they ended the first half winning 6-7. You would think Jrue Holiday is at a point where he can play 25, 28 minutes. You know, I would imagine he, unlike maybe some of his teammates, probably ran a lot, you know, but tried to rebuild the conditioning over the last week. So if that's the case, I would think they've got to start on the treadmill, for instance. You know, at the start of the year, JR, we talked a lot, oh, 3-3, 4, that makes sense. They're figuring it out. And it took a while before that win streak. And then of course, Holiday goes out. I don't know if they've, you know, have the benefit of that. I think they need to hit the ground running. So they're, you know, I'll be in Philadelphia in a week. You know, that's a big game. I think they need to be playing well and sort of ready to win those games. The time of learning, hey, we're learning lessons, we're getting better, we got to build, like, that's fine. I think we need to start seeing that applied and the application meaning wins. And yeah, they're better than the Knicks, you know, win the game. You know, maybe the Knicks are an 8 seed or 7 seed, whatever. That's a good story for them, you know. But it's a game the Bucks should win Thursday, and they should, you know, to me, start fast. That's kind of what I'm looking for here as the second half begins.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but if the season started today, I think the Knicks would be the 5 and they would play the Bucks. Oh, no, no. Bucks are the 3. Never mind. Knicks are the 5, though. They're sure. They're above 500, which most teams cannot say. That's pretty solid.
Look, that's fine. I'm not disrespecting the Knicks in that way. Like, they're playing well. Clearly, when I remember our podcast after they blew them out on the 27th, it was like, wait a minute. So, respect to the Knicks and Tom Thibodeau. I think we maybe should have expected a Thibodeau coach team to play hard and to be around 500. But look what we're talking about. We started the podcast talking about, can the Bucks win a title? If I say yes, well, if that's the case, beat the Knicks at home.
Yeah,
totally true. and get going on the right foot.
Yep, totally true. Keep an eye on that Miami Heat team. They've dug themselves out of a hole a little bit too. They're back to 500 right now, sitting a half game behind the Knicks in the standings, which again, don't matter right now, but that's definitely a team that the Bucks may have not seen the last of. I know a lot of people would like to forget their encounter last year. He is Jim Ozarski, Milwaukee Bucks beat reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Find his stuff at jsonline.com. As I mentioned earlier, please check out the really good deals we have at jsonline.com/deal and pick up a subscription. Now is absolutely the right time with all these sports kicking into gear, including March Madness, baseball season, and the Bucks' second half. Thanks a lot, Jim. We will talk to you again very soon.
Sounds good. Talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening to the Point Forward Podcast, a Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and JSOnline.com production.